Chariot Solutions Tech Cast, Episode 66, Part 2 of our interview with Eric Chameau of Puppet Labs. Hi, I'm Ken Rimple. Welcome to the Tech Cast. Eric is back for Part 2 of our interview, this time via Skype. We talked about the tools of the trade, including the Vagrant virtual machine launching tool, about the true goals of DevOps, and about some of the things you can do with really large installations. We also discussed convention over configuration for a bit. At the end of this talk, we'll discuss the DevOps conference. Eric is speaking there, as well as myself. I'm opening the show and providing a panel discussion later. We'll have Jason Van Zyl from Sonatype, CloudBees, Ning, and many others. It's a low-cost $99 event with a $75 early bird special going on right now. You can find out more by going to chariotsolutions.com/devops-conference. Okay, so Eric Chameau, welcome back.
Ah, thank you. Good to be here.
Yes, Eric's from Puppet Labs, and we had an interview with him on TechCast, I believe, 65, just the last TechCast we did. And then we cut it short because of Ken's operator error. So what we wanted to do is make a part two and kind of take the jumping off point from where our last discussion left off. So we were talking about continuous delivery a little bit, which was, you know, having the ability to push all the way to production with CI tools and with DevOps tools. Why don't we talk a little bit about some of the tools of the trade? So, you know, you of course are using Puppet, and you know you're out there and you're consulting in that tool. But in terms of things you use in your daily life as a DevOps person, whether you're on the developer side or the operations side, what kind of tools come to bear?
So, I mean, the number one tool actually that ends up coming into play all the time is source control. And at Puppet, it's mostly Git, and we find out in the field it's mostly Git. In previous work, I'd been using Mercurial just because I like to be different. And you do still run into Subversion and occasionally RCS from people. Yes, it's awesome, you know. But, you know, at the same time, it's knowledge of Git is a huge deal. And again, we're trying to get to a place where operations and development are sort of speaking the same language. And so since, you know, tons of development shops are using Git, for management, it's very convenient for us to be able to have kind of a shared understanding of how you deal with branches, how you merge, how you communicate about patches and deal with approval processes. Not having to reinvent the wheel with that is a big deal.
Yeah.
It will also make an awful lot of use of tools like Vagrant. I use Vagrant. In fact, I spent this morning dealing with Vagrant, and that makes it sound terrible. It's not. It's for those that don't know Vagrant, it's a great tool for rapidly bringing up and deploying like very, very small VMs and configuring them quickly and then being able to sort of redeploy and test things on them. So certainly on the development side, it's super great for being able to say, quick, give me a brand new install and then see how my new code will run on it. And from the Puppet side, we actually have two Puppet providers that are available within Vagrant, one that's a standalone and another that will talk to a Puppet Master if you have one up and running. And those are actually bundled as part of Vagrant now. So, and I think both of them were authored by boss, James Turnbull. So both of those providers are really great because now you can actually insert Puppet code right as Vagrant is firing up. And this makes it incredibly easy to be able to sort of simulate your startup environment and make sure you're getting something realistic. And of course, you know, on the other end of it, certainly we have continuous integration tools that are running in Puppet. So I believe we use Jenkins, and so we're constantly getting, you know, Jenkins alerts about broken builds and so on and so forth. So we will happily integrate with continuous integration tools and stuff like that.
Is there a particular Swiss Army knife then that you use on a regular basis then, besides those?
Ah, okay. Well, I mean, you know, again, Git is what I spend 99% of my time dealing with other than Puppet. In terms of sort of ad hoc day-to-day system administration, I mean, sometimes people get sort of nervous about the fact that, you know, well, if I'm dealing with Puppet, am I going to have to deal with change control windows and pushing everything out through Puppet? And the answer to that is no. You know, there's tools like mCollective, which actually is owned by Puppet and is now bundled in with Puppet Enterprise. But it's a free product. You can download it. It's the Marionette Collective. And what it's intended to do is sort of the ad hoc system administration tasks that you wouldn't necessarily do as part of planned infrastructure. So, you know, in Puppet, I may put my Apache confs, right? But I have no particular interest in restarting Apache on the fly because somebody made a change to something as part of a Puppet manifest. That really doesn't make sense. It's not a systemic thing I'm going to do. I just want to do it now. And M Collective is particularly good for that. It's based around a message bus backend. It's extremely modular, so you can run it off of anything with like a that supports the Stomp protocol, ActiveMQ, RabbitMQ, anything like that. And I believe there are connectors being written for, you know, AMPQ and other stuff. But the idea is that you can simultaneously send out messages to all of your various nodes and have them subscribe to different channels within M Collective, and go ahead and receive information back synchronously from all of them. It's sort of difficult to describe in that way, but it's an amazing tool to sort of see, hey, go back and make this modification on all servers that meet these criteria and get a response back from 1,500 servers in like under 3 seconds.
Wow.
It really takes advantage of you know, sort of meshing in the distributed nature of the message bus that's underneath it. So yeah, that's a fantastic tool that I'm just kind of getting my hands around.
Can that work over like a very wide network through the internet, or does it have to all be on the same like backbone multicast kind of stuff?
No. It definitely can be distributed. For instance, if you are using ActiveMQ, there's support for meshing. So you know, you could stick like a bridgehead server at each site, for instance, and then you know as many as you wanted, and go ahead and send your messages out, and they'll send out your you know, one or two messages to each site until you finally get into your individual location, and then you'll get your, you know, whoever subscribed will get the message there. So it definitely scales quite well. We've seen, I don't know what the biggest installation we have it running in is. I've seen it in 1,600 node installations without a problem. And literally response from all nodes within 3 seconds.
So is this a tool you can use to like, you know, give someone a simple, you know, taskbar to you know, kick off certain jobs, backups, you know, say go to a production deployment, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. One of the things that it's kind of built around is it's intended for running short tasks. So what you really want, what it's good at is aggregating information coming back. Because technically, right, you could do all this stuff with SSH in a for loop or cluster SSH or, you know, the tools that we've been using before. But the limitation of those is, okay, you know, you do SSH in a for loop for 30,000 machines and machine number 15,129 returned an error. How do you parse that return? How do you deal with that error message? You don't know what it's going to be. M Collective does a really good job of sort of aggregating that data and reporting back to you on what happened. So it's particularly good at saying, hey, this worked everywhere, and these machines sort of dropped off the network, so you might want to check them out. And it does a really good job also of aggregating queues. There's a screencast on the Puppet Labs site. I'll send you a link for the show notes.
Oh, great.
But there's a screencast of managing XIM queues with M Collective, and the guy's got like 6 XIM servers, and he merges all of the outgoing mail queues into one interface with a bounce bar. And he just sort of goes through and says, oh, release all messages that match this pattern. And M Collective goes out to the servers that match that pattern and release the messages. So, you know, yeah, it definitely gives you the ability to sort of give operator rights to people who you maybe wouldn't want to give sudo on a production server. But, you know, letting them manage a queue or swap out a file or something like that, absolutely. Or even just get status on a service. You know, why not?
Let's say your company does, you know, cloud-based hosting and, you know, you're trying to save infrastructure dollars up front and physical hardware, you know, stuff. And so you're hosting on the cloud and you want to ramp up and down virtually whenever you need to. So you mentioned Vagrant was good with VirtualBox. I mean, what have you done anything with like EC2 and things like that and scaling up and then monitoring those?
We definitely do. Amazon's got we hook into a whole bunch of EC2 deployment stuff. In fact, we have an EC2 deployment tool. I'm not sure what the current status of that is, but I know that it has either been released or in like pre-release stages. And you know, similarly, we've been working to try and get ourselves integrated with OpenStack, and there's plenty out on the net. I mean, in fact, I think Ari Panir, who's the author of M Collective on his devco.net blog, certainly has an EC2 provisioner with Puppet up there. I'll see if I can dig out the link for that as well, but there's a lot of people that are doing this. It fits really, really well with what EC2 is doing, but it also fits well with internal cloud and other stuff. So, I mean, we've definitely got tools for working with VMware, working with OpenStack, working with CloudStack, etc.
So what are the coolest things you've seen done with Puppet?
The coolest thing about it is not watching Puppet work. If Puppet works, everything should be transparent.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, the coolest thing I've seen Puppet do is just stop the BS. You start to see communication flow very smoothly and continuous releases happening. And it's sort of transparent. It's the sign that it's working is that there's just quiet. There isn't a disaster every time there's a release. Things go through a controlled sort of series of processes. I mean, it basically makes it the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So the sign of success there is not necessarily like trumpets blaring and excitement, but rather a success. Yeah, yeah. I wish that's what we should do. Every time something works in Puppet, we should set off a siren. I'm sure there's a provider for that. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's funny because what this is basically doing is making it the way it's supposed to be. And you know, now I have seen some wildly spectacular things. I mean, there's certainly a rush when you make a change to a code version and you see it roll out across, you know, 20,000 machines, you know, in the course of a few minutes. That's sort of amazing.
That is really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's more just sort of like it increases your leverage as a sysadmin. It starts to move away from that 25-to-1 ratio that we've been stuck at. And that's not to say that sysadmins should be out of work. It's that we need to be focusing on other things. We've been so busy keeping the water flowing, right, and the pipes, you know, in decent shape, that we're not spending the time that we should be spending on looking at the code, looking at how the code interacts with the operating system, and doing what we should be doing with the developers, which is providing them feedback on how their code can better run on the OS, which is what our specialty is, right? I mean, you know, we're supposed to be the guys telling developers, hey, listen, I noticed that you're using this, but actually the new implementation of memory paging on this box works differently. So, you know, try it this way. There's been way too little focus of that in ops, you know, because you're just worried about keeping the lights on. And this sort of frees you up to do more value-added stuff.
So is there anything else you want to tell us about Puppet itself that, you know, may not be obvious?
I think the important thing to understand about Puppet is that, and the thing that differentiates it, you know, in a large degree from the rest of the space, is that it's designed around modeling what your system is supposed to look like. So at the end of the day, what Puppet wants to do is create a model in memory of the end state of what your system should be. And everything in Puppet is sort of revolves around getting you to that state. So some of the things that people find non-intuitive or confusing initially are really sort of based around the fact that, well, look, Puppet needs to get you into a deterministic final state. If you give me two different settings for a variable and you don't tell me in what order to resolve them, I can't tell you what that final state is going to be. And Puppet will throw a fit about that because it's not deterministic. That's as it should be. If Puppet doesn't know, you really don't know either. And what you've in fact exposed is a non-deterministic behavior that maybe has been by accident working for you, right? And it's one of those things where you change your shell script or, you know, Bash gets a point update and all of a sudden your logic doesn't work the way that you thought you did. But it's our strength also because it enables us to do things like run in a no-op mode and actually give you a dry run and see what the final outcome of your work is going to do. So, you know, recently I've worked on a couple installations where people are actually running Puppet in dry run mode nightly. They've got very small change windows over the weekend. And what you see is every day a compliance report that says these are the things that administrators went and touched on these boxes that they shouldn't have touched. And it enables them then to sort of set the Puppet manifests up so that when they do their run on the weekend, they can rectify all of that or, you know, include the changes that they wish to include. So, I mean, what our strength is that, you know, we're really sort of focused around the real world. We're not focused around letting people sort of hack their way through making it work. We're trying to change the vision of the way people look at systems. And I think it's working.
You know, it sounds a lot like the approach Maven takes as opposed to what Ant took with Java builds. You know, in that world, you know, Ant was a very procedural step-by-step. You submit this particular change, you change this thing, you compile, you copy, you make directories. And Maven was more like, here's where the project is. Here's the type of things the project should be.
That's exactly right. It's declarative.
Yeah, and it's funny because some people look at a Maven POM file and say, oh, crap, it's 1,000 lines long. But if the same thing was done with Ant, it might be 10,000 lines long. And it might be much harder to change later. So, you know, it's that perception. People look and they feel like they've got a loss of control in a way in some of these things. But what they're really gaining is freedom from mundane.
That's exactly right. In that procedural script, it might be much quicker to write initially, and you maybe would understand it better initially. But, you know, if you're relying on extremely system contingent sort of behaviors on each step of that script, when you hand that off to someone else, their understanding of what the impact of a minor change is really going to be diminished, right? So, yeah, in the Maven model, you know, it's like you only need to understand the part of the system that you're messing with.
Yes.
And as long as that part is is itself a black box and has clearly defined inputs and outputs and interrelationships with other things, you should not be affecting anything else by tweaking that part of the black box.
You're at the control of developers at that point with a build, where if it's literally like writing code to write a build, right? So this is, I guess, the same kind of thing. You're at the mercy of your system operations if it's a very cumbersome migration process and something goes wrong. Now it's more of, like you said, a shared language and a shared set of recipes that everyone can understand.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, our goal is the developers should have the Puppet, you know, should have the Puppet manifests too.
Yeah.
And, you know, go ahead and have a Vagrant build on your desk and throw up, you know, a production operating system that looks just like prod.
Oh, great.
And
yeah.
See what your build is going to do to it. And if it doesn't work, iterate. And at the end of it, hand us back saying your Puppet manifest is broken. You need to make sure that this is installed before this. How does that not help anybody?
Yeah, you know, that's great.
It really is. It the whole idea is to just get the discussion going again, you know, and stop finger pointing.
Fantastic. All right. Well, now it's time. I think we should probably walk through briefly what we have for the conference and just kind of discuss it for a second. So we've got this DevOps conference coming up. We actually have an early bird special. It's $75 instead of $99. So it's really cheap for what you're getting. ChariotSolutions.com/DevOps-seminar. And so you're leading off. I'm going to do like a 20, 30 minute introduction. And you're leading it off with deployment automation. So I guess this is kind of a walkthrough of you know, getting something going with Puppet and how to do automation deployment with Puppet being the solution for it, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, we'll do a quick, you know, let's say kickstarting a Red Hat machine on getting bootstrapped with Puppet and pulling up an initial set of manifests, give you a quick idea, you know, and then maybe walk you through making a few changes to those manifests and seeing how Puppet can pull live data from a whole bunch of different sources to kind of put together a configured system with, you know, no hands.
Then we have Sonatype's Jason Van Zyl. And so he's going to give a talk on Maven 3 and where Hudson and Maven 3 are going. Since they're kind of, at this point, there's the whole Hudson and Jenkins split. They've been funding development on Hudson. So we'll get their take on that. We'll take a look at seeing how Hudson works with Maven 3. And he has a talk on that. Then we have a case study on cloning workspaces in Hudson so they can do massive builds. One of our customers did that. So one of our consultants is going to talk about that. In the afternoon, we got a talk by Harpreet Singh from CloudBees talking about Jenkins and continuous delivery. And so he's using Jenkins kind of as his platform for that. Then we have a case study on continuous delivery with Joel Confino from Chariot Solutions. And he's using, I believe, Jenkins on that as well. Then the next thing is someone from Ning is coming down, David Sklar. And he's going to talk about kind of, you know, how he deals with their large scale operations landscape. And then we wrap it up with a panel discussion. So, you know, it's going to be a good fun time. I think there's going to be a lot learned. And, you know, certainly we have open questions. If you want to tweet questions, you can hit at K Rimple on Twitter and, you know, send your messages to me and I can certainly put them on the list. But, you know, Eric will be there and it should be a good time. It should be very informative.
Yeah, I should. I mean, it really sounds great. And I, of course, can't miss the opportunity to point out that in, I guess, a week and a half now, we're getting up towards PuppetConf.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is September Portland. 22nd and 23rd in Portland, mm-hmm. Which, if you haven't been there, is a really fantastic city. It's criminally, like, underreported how great Portland is, or maybe not. Maybe we don't want lots of people going. But yeah, it's our very first operations conference. It is not Puppet only. Of course, we are Puppet and we'll be talking about Puppet stuff, but it's DevOps. So those that are interested in that, it's definitely worth checking out. And I think it's a nice complement to what Chariot's doing. I think those fit well together.
And it's, what is it, puppetlabs.com?
You can actually go to puppetconf.com, C-O-N-F.
Excellent.
For the conference itself. And then, yeah, you know, puppetlabs.com is the main site. And you can, I'm sure we've got a giant button there.
for register, the conference. Yes.
Register now. There's actually, we're doing trainings there as well. So, you know, if M Collective tickles your fancy, there is actually a training a few days prior. So, yeah, excellent. there's definitely stuff coming.
All right. Well, Eric Chameau, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ken. It's good talking to you again.
All right. Thank you. Our TechCast, DevCast, and conference sessions are archived at techcast.chariotsolutions.com. We have a low-cost $1.99 iPhone application provided by our Libsyn carrier that also gives you access to all of it. Search for Chariot TechCast in the iOS App Store. We also provide RSS and iTunes subscription feeds, and we take feedback on the Twitter account as @TechCast. If you want to see Eric and a demonstration of Puppet, you can come to our DevOps seminar. The early bird price is in effect until the end of the week, so get those seats now and save. Although the list price is $99, and that's pretty hard to beat. Considering you'll be seeing people from Puppet, CloudBees, Sonotype, Ning, Chariot, Real Case Studies, and others, and have access to these speakers for a question and answer form that afternoon, it's a really interesting way to spend what amounts to a decent lunch for a few people. That's Chariot DevOps Seminar, October 18th, 2011, at the Penn State Great Valley Campus, south of King of Prussia on Route 202. More information is available at chariotsolutions.com/devops-conference or by clicking on our news and events section on the chariotsolutions.com website. Chariot is also hosting Fast Track to Scala in New York City on October 4th and 5th. A course taught by the team at TypeSafe, Martin Odersky's company, which is now shepherding the language and the ACCA framework. Save an additional $100 on the asking price by using the registration code TECHCAST, all one word, T-E-C-H-C-A-S-T. Find out more about that from the training calendar section of chariotsolutions.com/education. Our podcast themes are free theme number 3 and 4 from podcastthemes.com. For the TECHCAST, I'm Ken Rimple.